This is a Pinball News production.
Welcome, everyone. Okay, we're going to go with me first, because I'm first on the list. And I was very fortunate to get this subject matter for my last production game. It's something I've been wanting to do for a long time. It's a classic piece of literature, but I think everybody enjoys the movie, and there's no reason not to use it for a game theme. Fortunately, I was also blessed with a great design team. Elliot's not here today, but we'll work on that. I would love to have everyone hold all their questions for the end, if they could, and I'll just give it a real quick speech here and run you through what basically how I got into Ghostbusters. This represents the last CAD drawing, or model, actually, of the Ghostbusters LE. This is how it turned out, and this is what I work from. When the artist gets done with it, it looks a whole lot better. Go ahead, hit me again. All right, this is the earliest concept. This is what we sent to the licensor to get approved, just to show him that we weren't going to be blasphemous to his title. But you can see a lot of different changes from this one to the one that actually got produced. I guess I can just point them out. We have the Ecto goggles here and here. And neither one of them ended up being there. We ended up putting them over here. Just practicality, these goggles turned out to be so high, I don't believe this one could clear the glass when we put it on. But for development purposes, this is the way it came in. Also, this ramp came in from the inside and went around, and we turned it around, because I found out that this shot was really, really tough, almost unmakeable. So, and as it is, by turning it around, it's still a very tough shot. So you can imagine how bad this one was. The center area started out as a five bank of stand-up targets, which I thought was kind of good because they were on an arc, but unfortunately, hitting these targets bounced you into either the side of the ramp or this rail that's back here. So it would just go give you a nice clank, and it wasn't a lot of fun to shoot. So this whole area got changed into the single target here and the small captive ball target. The rest of it pretty much, I think, went as is.
Want me to go backwards?
Yeah, you can. There you go. And you can see that the Ecto goggles unit was moved over here, and the ramp turned around the other way. And that's about it.
We have a couple necks.
Oh, this is Elliot's part, so bear with me.
Yeah, family emergency.
Oh, that's not good. And this is the Stay Puft. He's on a wobbly bracket, and he turns colors, and this is basically, I don't know what he wanted to say about it other than that. And we got that left underground ramp. Okay, this is the assembly and how it actually works. We had to go very high with this ramp in order to secure the exit of the ball coming back out. If it was any lower, if I bring the ball down here and let it go, it won't make it out. So that determined the height of the ramp. And the reason we put these little loops in here is to center the ball up, to like tee it up, because we found that if the ball is rattling going down the ramp, it's not going to make the trip either. So we had to make sure it was down the middle, on the track. Everything is all nice and tight going in, and then the ball makes it out, I would say, 99% of the time. Other than that, we have a diverter down there. The mechanism works real well, knocks the ball into our three-ball lock. So if a ball does come down here and stay there, it'll fall into this lock, and it gets kicked back out on the playfield, which I'm sure everybody has seen already. And that's my short synopsis. And I'm going to hand the ball next to Dwight.
Hello. Thanks for coming. I joined Stern to work on Herald. So what I didn't know it at the time, but I was hired to... I don't do that yet. Ah, no, mother. Aha, there we go. Okay, so in 2000, John,
what?
January or so last year, January 2015 is when I joined this project. John had already was already underway. He was already had ideas. I joined, and then a few months later, actually started working on the game, like with writing software. So some of you don't know. My name is Dwight Sullivan. I've been in pinball for 20 some years. These are the games that I worked on. If anyone cares, it's like 15 games. What's next? What's the next slide? I can't see it from here. Ah, it's that. Okay, so this is just some facts about the software. Software is bigger and more than you think most of the time. So Ghostbusters software has 145 lamp effects, 222 display effects, 378 sound effects, 192 game audits. There are 180 source files. So T2 was one of my very first games. It was actually my second game. T2 had 30 source files to compare it to. It's not really apples and apples. T2 was assembler, and now we work in C and C++, which takes more files. And then there's like approximately 73,000 lines of code in Ghostbusters. T2 had about 10,000 lines of code. I can't take all the credit. I have a team of people that work with me. I have Corey Stoop and Mike Kizavats are two of the people that are on almost every one of my games. And that's all I got. We're going to do this thing where we're sort of introducing the four of us, and then we're going to do a question and answer, kind of a new thing that we thought up. It's a quid pro quo where you guys are going to ask a question about anything you want, and then we're going to ask you a question, and we're going to go back and forth, and I think it's going to be a little fun. And I got prizes. I got prizes for correct answers. You guys are excited now, I can tell. Yeah? All right. All right. Jerry, you're up.
Sure.
What do I do?
That is your... our operator can't see. Hi, my name is Jerry Thompson. I got to working with Stern through Greg Ferraris and Dennis Nordman and the Whoa Nelly project. I worked on that. And then last summer I was there working on another project, and I knew they were doing Ghostbusters, and so I went to Dwight and I said, I really want to do the sound on Ghostbusters. And he said, but you've never done one all by yourself. And I said, but I already have an idea what I want it to sound like. And I feel like I'm the right guy for this job. And he said, but you've never done one by yourself before. And so I don't trust you. And so I said, just give me a shot. So he said, talk to John. So I talked to John and both of them said, okay, George Gomez said, okay. And so I set off, to work on the first tune in the game, which is the very first thing that was done for the game, and a friend of mine in Houston actually did part of the music. Another guy named Ian Sturgeon did some, but this was the very first thing. It's my favorite, and nobody's ever gotten to hear it all the way through. So if we'll take about a minute and a half and just let you hear this. It's by Sean Myers,
Jerry delivered that. Is this on? So Jerry delivered that, and then me and John went, yeah, that's that. Yeah, Jerry can stick around.
So you never get to hear the end of it, because in a pinball game, all the music has to continually loop. In case you walk away from the game, you don't want it to run out. So this is the first thing I got once they told me that I got the gig. And so I took a look at it and decided where I wanted to put things. And so I thought we would just show you this. And so you could – this is fortunate, because a lot of times the art is not – every game is different. So I was lucky to have this. So I looked at that and said, okay, well, there's a city scene – where the pop bumpers are, and so obviously we want to have some horns and city traffic things there. The spinner has the ambulance light on it, so that is a rev, and then you hear the Ecto-1 siren as you go by after the rev there. And then the slings obviously are, you know, the Magna slings are on the Premium and LE, so those are a different effect, but these have some electricity to them also. And the thing that I told him, I told Dwight, is I said, you know, I'm a drummer. I graduated high school '86. Ghostbusters is my era, and I have these original elements from the drum picture there. So in the '80s, these were like on hundreds of hit records. The Lynn drum machine was the first drum machine, and Simmons drums were the electronic drums that you hear on things like Let's Hear It for the Boy from Footloose is one thing I can think of. But the Lindrum was everywhere. And I have both of those things. And Dwight said, I'm embarrassed for you. And I said, no, it's cool. It's going to be cool. I know exactly what I want to do with them. So you can hear the I wanted to keep the sound 80s through the game to make you feel like I like an immersive package like Indiana Jones, Lord of the Rings. You kind of feel like you're playing the movie in those. And so... just this is a little quick sample of the Simmons. Yeah, either one.
You tell me.
You know what? You click the one you want.
Oh shit!
Run.
Which one do you want to hear? Not that
one. So this is the tune from. Who brought the dog? What's the next one? I forget. Oh, yeah, so this is, I got to play the Simmons drum. And you recognize that. So then Dwight was programming the LE and Premium versions last, and he said, I got these Magna slings working, and they're doing some really cool things, and we need a sound that, you know, that sounds like that. And we had used the theremin in some of the tunes, so he said, how about the theremin? So that's what a theremin is, if you don't know. And that's what he's playing. Several of them from the Magna slings. And then so I placed all that stuff, and you know, for every switch, and I didn't realize, being a collector and a player since 98, how many sounds you had to do in a pinball game. And luckily I had a great mentor, David Thiel. He's back there. He's worked on lots of classic games. Say hi, Dave. he knows how many sounds you have to do for a pinball game. But I thought, oh, this is great, I'm done. Well, no, then the dots start coming in. So if you have played a game with no sound, you know, you see that it's not really exciting when you see stuff happening on the screen and you don't hear anything. So I got the dots from, I think, from Corey or from you. And so that means they sent me what the storage facility multi-ball images were. And so I put that in my workstation and build up the sounds to match what's going on the screen. So that has to be done for everything that you see. And that's probably, you don't even think about that because you're playing and things happen. But so every dot, every switch, every button has to have a sound. And it was an experience. George Gomez asked me last night when we were working on Batman, so is making a pinball game everything you thought it would be? And I said, it's much harder and much more work for everyone involved than I ever thought it would be. And these guys, you know, if you're a collector and, you don't have an insight into how much work goes into it, these guys work hours and hours and months on these games, and they really care. Everybody at Stern Pinball, I mean, they want to make a great game. That's the goal. And so thank you for supporting Stern and for supporting pinball and being here. And thanks for liking Ghostbusters. We love doing it.
Ditto. I threw this in because I think it's a really cute picture of him. That's Jerry when he was a little bit younger, like last week or so.
Much more hair and less pounds.
We were all that way.
All right.
Zombie Eddie needs no introduction.
No, I say.
Here comes Zombie
Eddie. No, he wants one.
Ladies and gentlemen. Zombie Yeti!
Woo! So I'll go through the screens as you tell me.
Absolutely.
And then you can see them on the right there.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you can't. That's too far away.
That's possible. Hello, my name is Zombie Yeti. Thank my parents. No, my actual name is Jeremy Packer, but that's really boring and nobody thinks that's very neat, so they wouldn't have Jeremy Packer. Zombie Yeti sounds better. Many of you may know me from my previous failures.
This isn't a failure.
No, this is how I got this. There's this guy doesn't make games. Rhymes with K-pop? No, that's not really close. Anyway, so I had I actually intended to make a game at one point that got released, and it never did. From that, and I won't go into detail, a gentleman by the name of Dennis Nordman, who's in the crowd, reached out to me and was very kind and nice and said, hey, you want to do something? And I said, yeah, I'd like to do something.
That sounds like it.
Yeah. Hey. That's my impression of him. Hey, you want to do something? And so I started working on a little project with him, and through that, at one point, he told me that I needed to meet Greg Ferraris, who's also sitting there. I think they know each other. And so I met him, and boy, we hated each other. We did not get along well at all. Oh, boy, fisticuffs. No, I like Greg quite a bit, and he liked me, right? Right? Nah, not really. Not really, but I earned him. Over time, I whittled away, and eventually he came to me and he said, hey, we might have something for you to do. And I said, I got other things going on. I don't need anything. Okay, I didn't. I said, okay, sure. And he went ahead and one, I think it was a Friday, asked me to do a likeness test, a little sketch of Bill Murray. And I responded, and by the way, if you guys don't like words that are above PG rating, you might want to cover your ears. I think in all caps, I said, it better fucking be Ghostbusters. Okay. Sorry, Mom, who is not here with us, but... and it turned out it was. I didn't know at the time, but eventually I found out. And so I was elated by the prospect. I said, there's no way on earth that this license could not be anything but perfect in any way, shape, or form. And then I got to come in and actually meet the guys who were working on it and found out, maybe. So I'm going to have to put a little more effort into it to make up for it. No, I'm just kidding. But no, everybody loved it. Everybody was a big fan, a big nerd. Dwight, I'm looking at you. It's kind of true. He was quoting. He was quoting constantly, and like even like I, as someone who grew up, and I think I saw the first Ghostbusters in theaters when I was in third grade.
which makes me roughly 17 years old now. I don't know. I'm not really good with math. I think it might have been third grade. Maybe it was fourth grade.
He's an artist.
It sounds good. I was in elementary school. You can trust me on that one. I even watched the second one, as a young kid, didn't hate it. So what does that tell you? I grew up. I got wiser. So I was asked to come in. The first thing I did, cue Dwight, was this stuff. Which was just sort of, I didn't know where I was going with it. It was more, I guess, less stylized. It was a little more, you know, true to the core. I call it the Mondo route, where you basically take lots of photo reference and you draw photo reference, which is fun, but at the same time, a little boring at times. Apparently convinced them to let me do it. Or at least the licensor, whoever. Yeah, I don't get it either. From there, I came in. I think George, I talked with George, with Greg, and George said, who the hell are you? And I said, rhymes with K-pop. And he said, okay, sure. No, he didn't. We didn't talk about that at all. To this day, we still don't talk about it. I'm not bitter at all. And look what I got out of it, right? It's okay. And if you go to the next one. So then I started coming up with concepts for back glasses. That was, like, I think, the first thing that I did. And I started really boring stuff like this, which is really boring. And I had remembered some very inspirational words that Greg told me, I think George as well, when I met with them, which was, you know, we thought the backlash stuff you did with that guy was decent, but the playfield stuff was awful. So actually at this stage, I was thinking about, on the side, and I don't know that I have any evidence of it, I was thinking about the playfield more than anything, because I didn't want to let them down, because they were expecting me to. Anyway, go to the next one. I finally started getting a little more dynamic. I started thinking about the amount of time and work I wanted to put into the art, and the fact that we had three different models to do. So I started thinking, okay, well, how can I do this and get away with it? Many of you may not know, but I do a lot of work in the realm of gig posters and silkscreen posters. So I'm used to doing variants. One thing that I started to approach was the idea of creating a central focus that I could then go ahead and sort of pop things in and out of. It may sound like I was trying to be a little bit cheap by doing that. I wasn't. What I was trying to do was to be able to focus on the guys and the amount of time that I had to put this all together. So this sort of started, and as you can see, this actually had elements from Ghostbusters 2. And then when I came in, John actually punched me in the gut. And as I doubled over, he sort of did a cross. I remember I had a cut on my cheek. And he said, no Ghostbusters 2. So we went elsewhere with it. Greg was very good encouraging me, which, by the way, not all art directors do. If any of you guys out here, illustrators, artists, any of you? You work with art directors? Hey, okay. Some of them aren't so nice. Some of them are, they're not the greatest. Greg was fantastic. And I give him much of the credit for the entire process going the way it did, because he was encouraging without being interfering. You know, yeah, go ahead and start playing with this direction. And even had a few good suggestions. For instance, Big Slimer down here was actually his suggestion because I actually wanted to avoid putting a Big Slimer down there. I don't remember what I had. I had something else, though. Collaborative process. Go to the next one, which I think is just... Yeah, this was actually the original backlash direction and sketch, which ended up obviously becoming the pro. And originally I thought it was the best one, and then later I found out it wasn't. I think for me the premium was my favorite, but whatever. But actually the premium was the last one I did too, so maybe that's why. But I had no idea how I was actually going to accomplish this, so I went to town and I started working on it, and it all started to come together. This was the first color sketch, which, as you can see, looks exactly like the finished product. Believe it or not, this seed of mess is actually, in my mind, an actual roadmap that got me to what the final looked like. I don't know what's next. Oh, yeah, and then there's cabinet stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah. And so then there were cabinets. I know. I knew, obviously, with Ghostbusters, the Ecto-1 was going to be prominent. And I, you know, looking at the cabinet shape, and of course, really having no knowledge of how to approach the pinball art, I started looking at the idea of making one continuous scene. To which some people were, oh, that's a good idea. And then other people were like, eh. So I just continued on it. And eventually Greg was like, yeah, it's not bad. And so I kept going. I don't know what's next. Go next. So then there was a lot of different things that I, you know, just rough tries on maybe, hey, let's try this, that all just were awful, just awful. But I did like the dogs. The dogs were neat, right? They're kind of neat. So we tried one of the dogs. And then, yeah, this one. And truth be told, I think Bill up there on the side even got to ink stage before abandonment. And I won't go into that because it's a fun story, and you don't want to hear a fun story. Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, I got nothing else to say, guys. I'm sorry.
They don't want to hear this.
I don't know. There's actually a lot of work that went into this, and actually a lot more than what you see here.
Want to go back?
No, not at all. Please don't.
I can go to the playfield.
No. Oh, you can go to the playfield, yeah.
All right, hold on.
Oh, yeah, the playfield. I did that, too. Funny story about the playfield. Actually, I don't have one. But I will say this. The playfield was interesting, and again, Greg set me up. And George, by telling me that my previous work that was, of course, never actually produced, was just awful. They were really mean. Like, they'd spit on me and stuff. Like, playfield. And so that pressure kept me going. But with this one, it was kind of easy. But at the same time, extremely hard. Because with most, and I'm going to go ahead and look at the one person in the room. Well, okay, Greg, you too. But with most pieces of art, in the backlash in particular, you kind of have a flow and a focal point, a singular focal point for the most part. Sometimes you'll have dominant, subdominant, subordinate, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Stupid art crap. But with this, you have a lot of focal points. And it's almost like interface design in some regards. Sounds are fun.
Somebody
turned their phone. No, just kidding. It wasn't. No, but it's almost like interface design to a point. But for me personally, I wanted to make sure that at least 90% of every square inch was covered in a color or line, preferably one that was nowhere to be found near it. Kind of true. And everybody, I remember. Talking about the previous project, and I probably shouldn't say this, but there was a gentleman who had posted on a message board about the one thing that I had done prior, playfield, and they said it looked like somebody had eaten a bag of Skittles and vomited all over the playfield. And I thought, that's kind of funny, actually. I wonder if I can actually pull that off, make it look good.
So you ate the Skittles.
Yeah, so make it look good, and then... And then go ahead at the end of the day and be able to tell people, well, what happened was I was really sick. I'd eaten a bowl of Skittles, and then I threw up. And But that's actually not what happened. But it did inspire it. I actually had a bag of Skittles, and I would just color pick from each one. not true. I'm sorry. But yeah, no, there's lots of stuff there. There's things. And I believe it was John who said the upper area has to be the city. That's going to be New York City. And so I think I saved that for last because I'm like, oh, I know what's going to go there. And then I got to it, and I'm like, I don't know what's going to go here. Like, it's the city. What do you do? So I kind of went the cop-out route, just overhead, small stuff. I remember I think I went to Greg quite a bit and said, I don't know what to do here. And Greg's like, spit on me. So, yeah, that's kind of what happened. I don't know. I got nothing else.
Came out okay.
It came out okay. I was elated to be involved, and I was humbled that people actually liked it. Because what I heard was, in the pinball world, people can sometimes be a little down on things. And I was not prepared for that. And thankfully, I didn't have to deal with it too much. There were a few people. But mainly the guys sitting beside me, so I'm joking. No, you guys
kept you in line. That's all.
No, actually,
we're gonna play Twister. We're gonna do some break dancing.
Okay, that's him. No, the only thing I'll say, because I literally could mumble forever, is it's true. I appreciate so much that Stern took a chance and allowed me to be involved in this project, and that all these people trusted me, and in particular. Greg there and I think at the end of the day everybody worked together for the best product in the end, and I think it all worked out pretty good. I'm pretty proud of it. So
okay, now we want to do something so I call it quid pro quo. John, do you want to start with their questions or ours? Is it, all right, so who knows English in this room? Is that correct, or is it quid pro quo? Is this correct?
Yes.
Ha!
Yeah. Does it matter?
Yeah. Between John and I, it matters. Okay, John, do you want to start with them, or start with us?
Start with them.
All right, anybody have a question for any of the four of us? Go.
Did Ross Jones have any...
No, Raw Thrills had no input on this game at all. So who drew those ghosts? They're not here. Chuck, our video artist, director of video art, and his guys drew all of our ghosts. And we were inspired by a lot of the stuff Jeremy did on the playfield. All right, now a question from you guys. Sorry about that. Right there.
I just wonder, as a team, how do you work? Do you get together often? How does the process work as a team?
Oh, good question.
All different ways. Email.
All right. Yep. The question was, as a team, how do we work? And I'm thinking, and I'm expanding on it, like daily. How do from day to day? How do we work together as a team?
Well, the two of us, Dwight and I, we're right in the same room, just about. So that's not a problem. Jerry and Jeremy, they're, you know, thousands of miles away.
Zombie Yeti,
I'm sorry. But yeah, we email is a wonderful thing, and telephones works too. And we did have meetings every once in a while.
Yeah, we would meet when we could. But like Jerry, so I worked strongly with Jerry, and Jerry and I would, you know, we would talk, you know, three times a day sometimes. You know, like five or six emails would go back and forth, and then we would talk on the phone.
Greg did a lot of this, too.
Right, and then Greg... Yeah, Greg then directs Zombie, and he comes in once a week and shows us stuff, and...
Is it?
Yeah. It's a small world now, even if your people don't work here.
We're gonna put two of us.
Oh, all right.
We get two of us to work here.
All right. All right, so our turn now. I'm excited. All right, what game is that?
Stargate.
It's not Star Trek.
Stargate.
All right, you've got to raise your hand. And if you won before, you can't play. You can play, but you can't win. Go.
Nope.
And we're going to take five, and then we'll move on to the hint.
Stargate.
No. Who said that? Yep, that's a winner.
Yeah, but that's in your weak spot for throwing.
No, no, I can do better. I can do better. Well, then you throw. Here.
I'll walk it down.
No, no, throw it.
No,
throw
you got to throw it.
Throw it. Throw it. Look out. No, look out. Somebody please help me.
I was always picked last on the athletic.
All right. Now we got a question from you guys. Go.
Dave.
So the color-changing LEDs kind of impact the art of the playfield quite a bit. Can you talk about which of you wanted to do which things with the color-changing LEDs and how you worked it out? Like it's no longer just the artist's call on what to do?
Well, Game of Thrones or...
Star Trek.
Ghostbusters.
Okay.
He's talking about Ghostbusters.
No, I was
talking about Ghostbusters
game.
Or just in general? On Ghostbusters, well, there's only the arrows that change colors, and that's pretty much in my domain.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, we're collaborative and we work together on every part of it.
It coordinated with the features.
I just said, well, this ladder is going to be all white. It's because it's Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and this ladder is going to be all blue, and we're going to do purple here, and we'll do yellow for PKE, and I just kind of figure all that out. And
of course, Slimer was beautiful green.
Yeah, Slimer's green, right. Right. So,
and in general?
It's like everything we do. We take a stab at it, we throw it in the game, and then people come and look at it and play it and piss on it and tell you you're stupid, and then you change it.
And, or not.
You know, and
if
you have
stubborn.
Time, if you have time, you change it. Okay? All right. Okay. My question. My turn. All right. What game is it? Tell me what you think it is. See, I got to read that.
Go. You pick.
The black shirt? Wow, that's very good. Like, so I played this game with everybody in my room the last couple days, and nobody got that. So there's the hint, and there's Trant. Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm going to... Oh, we're good at throwing it to you.
Watch out, he's got that hint.
Oh, good.
Yeah! Yeah.
All right, questions from you guys. And the Frisbees keep coming as long as you have questions. All right, go. This guy in the blue.
I got a question for John. There's a couple of your design elements that are similar to Ghostbusters and TX Sector. For example, drooping flippers and the Scalari target, drop target, and target in front of the ramp. Can you talk about the development of your design characteristics and how your games...
To me, it's easier for me to create something different than to do the same thing again. That, to me, is a little boring. And that's the reason my games are always that different. If it's a similarity to a game that I did, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, it's a possibility. And those stand-up targets make wonderful blockers. And that's exactly what they were in both games. Is that okay? Okay.
Okay, here we go. I think this is a hard one coming up. What is it? See, and I have all the... Ed. I knew everyone's going to guess Kiss. Nope. All right. Wait. You pick the people. Nope.
Hands.
No hands?
No hands.
That's a hint.
Here. We're going to move on. There's a hint. All right, this hand right here. Who said it?
More specific?
Yeah, so what flavor Ghostbuster? Yeah, he wins.
All right.
This is your favorite art, John, right? Or yeah. Jeremy, sorry.
Yeah. Zombie.
Zombie.
Yeah, I don't care.
We're like your parents. We can call you any name we want. Right there, blue hat, right?
Oh!
Actually, you call the...
You should have stood up.
...child you want that last.
Okay. All right, questions. Go, you pick. You do this. Ed.
You enjoyed the last software update and gave a lot of fun.
Thank you.
I liked it a lot. You see
Good question.
That's yours.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there's two parts to that answer. When we start making the game, we put on a whiteboard all kinds of things we want to do, and then we start talking to the artist and the other people that have to actually do the work, you know, like sound people, and we go, this is more than we can do, and we narrow the scope. We go, okay, if this probably isn't going to be fun, and we're going to, you know, let's just stick to our main kind of thing here and just do a couple of little extra things, and we'll be good to go. And so one part of your question is, where's the game today? I strongly believe, I mean, other than bugs, like in my last release, the one you're talking about, I introduced a new bug, and I'm going to fix it as soon as I get back to work. And then, so soon after that, I'll release a bug fix. But that's not really what you're talking about. Other than bug fixes, I strongly believe that this game and Game of Thrones, my last game, are done. They're complete. You should assume that not another update is coming. But I have a file with stuff in it, and like the scare feature was like that I call 2.0. So 1.0 is when the game goes on the line. I try to get 1.0 there. I try to make the game complete. It has like every rule has stuff. It has speech. It has all the lights do stuff. It's complete. It's done. And then I have stuff that isn't going to go to the cutting room floor. It's 2.0 stuff. It's director's cut stuff that I want to do someday. And if I get to do those things, great. I don't see why I wouldn't. It's just a matter of, like you say, prioritizing with what the company needs and then with what I want to do. And for example, I can't give an example because then you guys are all going to say, where's that thing you talked about? I still have stuff I want to do for Ghostbusters that I think will round it out and make it complete. Well, make it complete in my mind.
More complete.
Yeah.
There you go.
More complete.
Completer.
Yeah. It's my vision will be complete. Yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks. That's like John and I started off. Yeah. Thank you. John and I started off wanting to make a hard game. And mm-hmm. and then he went off and he made a hard game, and I went off and I made a hard game, and then we kind of met in the middle, and the game, I think, turned out just a little too hard. So this last update makes it a little bit more friendly, and I'm starting to like the game now. I started, you know, like the game, I guess I've always liked the game. I guess the game's starting to like me now, right? Because it would beat the hell out of me, right? Yeah. I would play 20 straight games and not have much fun, and I didn't want, that was never going to stay like that. So I had lots of great input from outside people with similar ideas, like, this game's no fun, Dwight. Like, we, you know, do something about it. So I tried to listen to them and you know, do what I could. All right, quid pro quo. That's a good question. I don't know if we're breaking the rules here. Yeah, I'll repeat the question. Or just a second. So, all right, so you're kind of breaking the rules here. We're supposed to do one question at a time, but I don't really care. So the question was, do you get input from not so great players and great players alike, and do you listen to them? Is that the question?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes. I'm not a great player. I usually make games for me. Like, I try to make games where, on a rare occasion, I can almost reach that wizard mode. And then I think that I've done something for that segment of the players. But I also have lots of friends like Josh Sharp and Keith Elwin and Lyman Sheets, who are at the top of world-class pinball playing. And I strongly listen to them. And I try to make the game fun tournament-wise, too.
That's the challenge.
That's a lot more work than it sounds. It's a great question, and it's a lot of work getting that just right.
Okay.
All right, quick
picture.
All right, so this one's one of the super easy. All right, just a minute. Just okay. What game is it? Are you?
You watch the hands.
I think it was him.
Black shirt right here.
Yeah, Jason.
All right.
I think yeah.
This guy on the right. Right. Yeah.
Oh.
Go ahead. Yeah, on the right. This guy with a hand up right now.
No.
Jason got it. Jason, I was saying Jason Brett.
Oh, I don't know who Jason is. The guy right here.
Yeah, he's in front of him.
All right. AC/DC? What flavor AC/DC? Yeah, it is.
Lucy.
That's too easy, right?
All right, he gets the first one.
Wait.
Ooh.
Sorry. Yeah, you okay?
Lawsuit.
Yeah, all right. All right. Somebody who we had somebody with a question. What do you want to do? The blue hat? Okay.
The nice cool neat feature, is that something you said don't go backwards on technology? Would you use that again in a new game? Are you enjoying the outcome?
This was a perfect theme for that using those. The ghosts are alive. They're controlling the ball. Not all the time. But when they get angry, yeah, they'll grab it and throw it where they want it.
It's a great feature.
It's like a wild card. Yeah. It really is. And this was the perfect theme for it. I had developed these while I was at Williams, actually, and we never got to build the game. So when it came here, I said, this is the perfect theme. We tried them out. We actually had a whitewood with just slingshots on it, and we developed them around and found that the first time around didn't work, and then the second time around it worked better, and the third time around it worked even better. So we ended up changing the rubber line, and we ended up changing the program a few times.
Yeah.
And I think we came up with a perfect solution.
But you could tell right from, even from the very beginning, you could tell there's something there.
Yeah,
it's gonna be great. And I was surprised. Like when, so you and I first started talking about mm-hmm. toys, and I was like, let's do a Slimer on a stick, and you're like, let's do these Magna Slings. And I'm like, no, Magna Slings, man, that's gonna be stupid. And I was wrong. The Magna Slings are very, very cool. John was,
and they're also
was,
not very cheap either. Well, so that's why the pro didn't get them.
Yeah,
pretty well, much.
Yeah.
It didn't get produced. No, I don't want to. I don't even want to go there.
Oh, I can answer that.
He would if he could, but he doesn't know. Is that your answer? All right. One more. Anybody else had a question before we move on? All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're going two questions.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine with me. The guy in the black was up earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a...
We almost got out without that.
No, that's in all the games, in the pros, the LEs, and the premiums. It's for an option for the... what do you call those? I think
the proton...
The proton packs.
Proton beams.
The beams. And we have a pretty much developed prototype. They're exceedingly not cheap. And so I think maybe... It might still be made, but right now the jury's out on it. It's not going to be produced as of now.
I've seen it, they're pretty cool.
Stop that.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy.
I wanted them too.
All right, should we do one more question or go to the quick go?
One more question.
You pick.
Right here.
All right,
which
go
one?
Yeah.
Answer my
question. All right, so this gentleman right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were designing Ghostbusters, what things were you working on that you had to operate?
I'm sorry, what is that?
Features for operators.
What were you working on in Ghostbusters that you had to operate?
I don't know what you
mean. This is fine, but is this something that's easy to service?
Well, I tried it, yeah. You know, as far as the operator is concerned, I don't want to design anything that's impossible to service, of course.
And there's tons of ball hang-up work, and there's lots of work.
Yeah, the ball hang-up work is a tough thing because it's something you... Now it actually becomes easier when you're developing in SolidWorks because you can rotate the image, and you try to get most of your stuff that way, but it doesn't always happen. When you build them, And that's when you find out where the ball hangouts are, and we start adding little posts here and plastics there, and some of them interfere with the assembly points. But we try to keep it as modularized as possible. Sometimes it's not optimum, unfortunately.
All right, let's go to quid pro quo, and then we'll come back to you. All right. That's 5 for 5. You're not cheating me, are you? Ha. Nobody laughs. Shut up, that's next. Oh, no, it's not. All right, who knows what this is? Jason. Nope. Anybody else guess? What? Nope. Yeah, I'm going to go to the hint. I think this one's hard. No, we got, all right, one more. Nope. But it could. We could do the same game twice. Nope. Not Mustang. All right, we'll go to the hint. I think the hint gives it away, though.
Oh, now I got it.
All right. What is this? All right, the guy right here with the glasses. More specific. No. Do we want to give it to him? Yeah, let's give it to him. It's the ELG. It's the game that you guys just saw today.
All right.
Well, that's right. It wasn't really fair. All right, here we go.
Ten.
Oh, shit. Shit.
Oh, we're going to do There's, two of these.
All right, we'll do two. All right, so... but maybe I screwed the rest of it up. All right, what game is this? What? Yeah.
Hey, very good.
All right, I'm going to leave it on this screen just in case I screw. Oh, no, I can tell it's not. All right, good. Here you go. No. Yeah, nice catch. All right, okay, now questions from the audience.
This gentleman right here.
The car on the right cabinet side is different as this on the left side.
By the left and right?
Two different cars.
It's for John or Jeremy.
Oh.
Repeat the question.
So you're asking if the cabinet...
The left car...
The left side of the car is different than the right car.
It's another car.
Only if there was a logo change.
How to answer that? Yes and no, as in no. But I did flip... the logo, so hopefully nobody paid attention. But yeah, no, I actually had a fear about that at some point the licensor was going to be like, well, the equipment on the top is not correct. It shouldn't have the ladder on that side. But I would have done it. I would have, but I wanted to put my efforts elsewhere.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Let's do more questions. Yeah. Green shirt? All right, so I think the question is, and I think it's for John, is there a challenge to make LEs and premiums and pros different?
To separate the models? Is it hard to separate the different models, right? Pretty much? Yeah, it is. Personally, I charge ahead and I build an LE when I create. It's much easier, I find, to pull a few things off here and there than to try and stuff something on top of something that exists. And then it looks like just a piece was added on. It just never works. So it's better to go the other way and whittle it down a little bit. So that's how they get created from my point of view.
I think the other designers do that too, or
do they?
Steve does.
Yes, Steve.
I don't know about John Borg.
I'm not
anybody
sure
else
about
know
John
about John Borg? Okay, never mind.
Go ahead, question.
Hat, blue hat.
For Jeremy, or maybe for everyone, but the game is awesome, the art's fantastic.
Sounds good too.
What made this game, what convinced the licensor that it would go completely hand drawn? Is that a challenge? Was it very easy for this game to convince them to go completely hand drawn art?
I think Greg probably has that answer, yeah. but I will say the initial black and white ink that I did was for that reason. That was for them to do that. I'll be honest, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there because it might sound correct, but I think it's because they didn't care about the license anymore. Like, we got a new one coming out. No one cares about the old one. No, I really don't know. But Greg might have some info on that. Greg, you want a mic?
No, that's all right. It was pretty much, what you said. The initial sketches went out. That's kind of what we targeted when we first sent stuff to the licensor, to make sure that if you're on board, we can't drop. So, those initial sketches and then the composites that we sent later, it all comes together. They buy in.
Bait and switch on my part.
One more from the audience, or okay, blue shirt right here.
For Zombie, how do you what media do you use to create your art? Is it all like graphic Photoshop, or do you use traditional?
A lot of Skittles and Ipecac. Okay, no. It's funny. It's actually not funny, but these days all clients want the artwork to be in some sort of digital format. So I spent quite a few years trying to find a way to do that was exactly the way that I had worked traditionally. And over the years, I sort of developed some bits here and there. I use various hardware and software, but a Wacom Cintiq. So essentially, I work just as if I were working on paper, except for I can iterate extremely quickly, and there's this control Z thing. Oh boy, do I take chances. Without that, I might not take as many chances. And I have no problem. I mean, some people are, computer art does itself. Well, okay, sure, if you want to go that way. It does not. But it does allow you to work a lot quicker and make a lot more mistakes. And anybody who works in art, all two of you people in the crowd, know that your success is directly proportional to your failure. So the more you fail, the more you succeed. Imagine a little rainbow in a star.
Okay,
I love him.
My turn. All right, what game is this? Blue shirt, have you won already? All right, go. Yes, it is. Wow, that's a good guess. Or there was the hint. Okay.
So throw it to that guy, and then he'll get it.
Okay. All right. No.
See, I'm going down. Crash.
More people need to be in the audience, and I'd have more bloody noses. All right. Are we doing good on time?
Yeah.
Okay. Question. Are we going to 8? Is that what we're doing? All right. Question. Blue, right here.
And you always planned on having the wider gap in the flip, or did you put that in towards the end? You didn't think the game was tough enough, and you wanted to toughen it up?
No. Well, I was going for a tough game right from the start. And I got away with this one.
Yeah, we want it. We want it.
Yeah, we wanted a mean game.
Okay, related to that, I have a question. How many people have been playing Ghostbusters and screamed, F you, John, because I know I have when the ball goes straight down the middle?
You're off the team.
You're out of work.
You're off my next team.
How about this gentleman here in the gray sweater? That's an aftermarket. I'm not sure who did that.
I do.
Go ahead.
Pinball life.
No, it also covers the ball jumping over the side rails, which we also have a fix for. Okay.
More questions? Yellow shirt.
Okay, John and White.
Together? No.
This is our first game together.
This is the first game we've worked together. Yeah.
It went really well.
We worked fine.
Yeah. I like working with John.
I hate him now.
So
Shut up. All right, my turn. Wait, no, no, wait.
Go ahead,
go ahead, go.
What's your favorite quality of the movie
today? Me?
Yeah.
Or all of us?
All of
you. Yeah. My favorite game is Monster Bash. I love George and Lyman individually and as a team. And I think Monster Bash is a great collaboration between the two of them. It's great toys, great rules, it's intuitive, it's fun, it's got goals that you can reach. I love Monster Bash. Go, you guys.
Go ahead, you?
No, you're next.
Twilight Zone was the first one I bought in 98, and I would probably say that it's still my favorite. Although, you know, I have a lot of them. It's hard to pick, but...
I got to be boring and actually repeat him, because Twilight Zone, thematically for me, also. Yeah, so...
And I don't know. It's hard for me to say.
But the second game I bought was Creature.
Yeah,
and so, and that was about that was about 15 years ago. So I would have never imagined I'd get to do a game with the guy. So it's a thrill.
There were just so many of them. Really, I enjoyed a lot of them. I'm not a huge pinball player, actually, and I love designing the games. And if the game entertains me, I'm happy. So I'm going to just opt out of that one.
Okay, it's my turn. Okay, what is it? Right there.
Yes.
Wow. Holy crap. Yes, it's Kiss Plastics. Right? I thought I'd throw people by having a plastics questions. All right, here we go. Ready? Ready?
Oh. Oh.
Thanks, Corey. Hey, if you don't know it, Corey Stoop is responsible for helping me get all the games done on time. Without Corey, Ghostbusters never would have been done.
Thank you, Corey.
Yeah. All right, questions from you guys. Yeah, orange shirt.
Are you working on your next game, John, and will it be with the same team?
Yes. No. No, part of it, it's part a new team. Dwight and I are not working on the next one together. Zombie and I are, and possibly Jerry. We don't know yet. Sounds are not a priority yet. He's busy doing something else.
They don't like me anymore.
That's not true.
All right, more questions.
No, Dwight's busy doing something else too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Jerry, outside of the pinball world, what is your favorite somewhere game topic that you had to do in your career?
Oh, geez, that's a hard one.
That's a tough one.
I'll be honest. I'm very fortunate in that I'm kind of not right in the head in the realm of. I only take on projects that get me excited or challenge me in a way that I know I can do something with it. That's more. I don't want to keep repeating myself, so I try to do something better, which means I'm going to fail at the next game. But whatever. I have a gig poster for a band coming out on Halloween that may be my favorite so far, but I can't. That's as far as I go. No, I recently just did some stuff for Hasbro for a Star Wars toy line that's coming out that's kind of cool too. That was fun, but that was more like kind of like. It's Star Wars, so like, you know, like I like Star Wars. Like most people like Star Wars, right? I don't know, like 50% of people like Star Wars. Whatever.
I like Star Wars.
See?
Did we get that question? Jerry made me text somebody.
I don't know. I have no good answer.
All right, it's filling up now. Like, people like this quid pro quo stuff.
They think we're done.
Or they're waiting for the next one.
Yeah, everyone is waiting for the
early for the next
pack
one.
Game.
These guys are still here.
All right,
one
right here. Next Generation or the Stern Star Trek or... Okay. Not the good Star Trek, then. Come on, that was funny. Yeah, that's a Lonnie game. I don't think any of us really worked on Star Trek.
This is not
so.
This
I mean, I did a smidgen of work on it, but not.
That's it.
I don't know.
Get out.
Yeah, Star Trek. I didn't work on Star Trek.
Throw that guy out.
With regard to that, so
always.
I don't know. Yeah, here. I mean, I did do a small amount of work on Star Trek, but it's a Lonnie game, and I don't really know what was planned for that. And yeah, no, sorry. All right, my turn. Quid pro quo. See, the room's filling up. This will go fast now. Watch this. What game is that? Orange or green hair? No. Ooh, I thought right there. Yes. Here. No, wait. See, that's the hint, right? Aim at the door.
There you go.
Ah. You said aim at the door. Well, I okay. All right. All right, you guys.
Audiences.
No.
They're done.
Should we do more quid pro quo? One more. All right, there's only one more anyway.
Okay.
All right, Jerry's insisting that I play these clips.
So you want to play Boggle or Super Mario Brothers?
See, that's funny to Jerry.
I love this.
All right, what game is this? What flavor? And you can tell by this picture. No, it's not the pro.
LA.
It's
right. LA.
No. It's not the super LE. You gotta raise your hand so I can give out a prize. It's the premium, yeah. Because of the inserts, right? Because of the mag sleeves. Ah, well.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ready? Stand up.
Yeah, not this door.
No, shut up. It's coming around. Yeah, all right. Thanks, guys, for coming. You know, except for the people that came in late, I don't really care about you.
Yeah, be on time. Leave earlier. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.